This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
This is what March feels like.
Perhaps we've never seen a final game with two greater individual players than Larry Bird, the player of the year from Indiana State, and the magic man from East Lansing, Urban Johnson.
Chicago has acknowledged the ball.
In his 39th season, the coach himself, Ray Meyer.
There's the man. There's the fond image of Chicago. He took me a daily slip.
With Bird. Oh, that's a long ways.
Oh! They won it! On the dunk.
The cardiac kids. North Carolina State has captured their second NCAA championship.
For UNLV at forward, a 6'7 junior from Dallas, Texas, number 4, Larry Johnson.
There it is. Ah!
With emphasis.
The Fab Five of Michigan, their slogan on the ride to the finals was shock the world.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes! Edney going the distance. Yes!
Through for the win!
Gone!
Oh!
He did it!
Won the game! A miracle!
Williams could tie it with a three! He does! Oh! Illinois has made up 15 points in the last 4 minutes!
Chicago, you get the final 14. The Ramblers of Loyola Chicago headed to San Antonio.
Georgetown still has one timeout left. The time, 18.
Shot, Jordan! Michael Jordan! North Carolina has won the 1982 NCAA championship.
Oh, no!
He drops the anchor!
Hundreds!
The tie symbolizes a lot to me.
The madness is real!
I love March!
And now, live from real-time sports in Elk Grove Village, it's the Spiegel and Holmes Show with Mark Grody sitting in for Lawrence Holmes. Presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Well, 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 what a day. What a day. My goodness. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Look at that. It's real-time sports in Elk Grove Village. Holy hell, Mark Grody is with me, Matt Spiegel. We have been here innumerable times. Literally, I cannot count the number of times that you and I and the radio station have been at this very spot. And we've used the banquet hall next door for events, the roast of the Boris and Bernstein show, the roast of Doug Buffone, the roast of Ozzie Guillen. This site has been used for so many great live broadcasts through the years, including our 30th anniversary, just a couple of years back as a radio station when so many hosts were together, both present and past. So it feels oddly fitting for us to be here on not just an NCAA tournament day, not just a day when we'll talk plenty of Bears and other stuff. Dave Wanstedt, our old friend, is going to join us at 5 o'clock. But it's also, obviously, Mark, a day in which the Score has said goodbye to one of its most famous, influential, and impactful hosts, Dan Bernstein, no longer with the station, as Mitch Rosen just announced a few minutes ago. If you missed that, that is the truth. Dan Bernstein is gone, and we won't shy away from discussing him. We've been advised not to talk about the events of the last week. for lots of reasons as those events play out and things continue to play out. But we won't shy away from talking about Bernsey and us and the score and our relationship at times along the way. But we've got a great sports show for you this afternoon, and the score will continue to do what it does, which is be the voice of the fans and the voice to the fans, discussing everything in the consciousness of Chicago sports and Chicago radio and Chicago personalities as we have for a long, long time. I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to have been here as long as I have been. And Mark Grody, I'm thrilled to work with you today. Lawrence Holmes off today for the wedding of Rick Camp. So Chris Tadhill off as well. We've got Shane Reardon. We've got Tyler Buterbaugh back at the shop. We've got Rich Wyatt here. Jenna Duddleston, our promotion staff, our friends from Circa are here. We're going to be at Circa next week in Las Vegas and can't wait. But Mark Grody, I'm thrilled to be with you today, as I always am. But it feels kind of fitting that it's you and me today in some odd ways as well.
It does. And, you know, like there is so many emotions flowing right now with the news that you talked about with Dan Bernstein. I mean, he's one of the greatest Chicago sports talk show hosts, sports or non-sports, that this city has ever seen. He could compete on a national level with other hosts there. So there's no way to deny the talent that Dan Bernstein has, and the fact too, Spiegs, that so much of what Dan Bernstein has done over his career lives in the, for better or for worse sometimes, lives in the DNA of Chicago sports talk radio, not just at the score, but everywhere in terms of the way he stylized it, the things that he has made okay to talk about. Dan Bernstein, again, whether you like it or not, has had that effect, and it still lives in Chicago to this very moment.
No, it does. It's so funny, man. Like, there's him as a host, there's him as a guy. And to me, it's like he's been a foil for me for a long, long time.
I know he is.
And to a lot of people, obviously. But like, you know, and so, I mean, I used to call, me and Dan McNeil used to call their show the Freight Train of Hate and Indignation, the Boers and Bernstein
show.
I remember. Because every day the freight train would take off and it would go somewhere filled with hate and indignation. And some days it'd be a really worthy target if it was Penn State, if it was Steve Alford, et cetera. And I think that's true of like of Bernsey's style through the years. I enjoy sports. I enjoy life. I enjoy thinking good things about the world. I enjoy finding what interests me and actually makes me smile about the world. So I was a natural foil for him, and we leaned into that because it was all based in realness. But the truth is that Dan and I have grown very, very friendly, at times close through the years, because, you know, we are who we are, you know? And as we age, as you and I do, and as he did, some of us mellow, some of us get meaner, some of us get kinder, some of us get wiser, and some of us struggle, some of us evolve, some of us do not. All of that.
That's the irony, is Dan did get nicer.
Oh, hell of a lot nicer.
He got nicer.
Hell of a lot nicer.
And it worked for him,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, look, I wish the man personally well, and I've told him that, I've texted him that, I wish him well. I wish... Here's what I want to say. We're not going to spend all the afternoon talking about this, but we're also not going to shy away from it in this moment. I believe that guy has another chapter doing something that speaks to his facile mind, his intelligence, his genuine passions and interests. I believe that he will find some outlet eventually that fits all of that, and I look forward to it.
Are we going to Theo Epstein him? We're going to look at what he does and what he's really talented at and say, no, you have a higher purpose. You should be in politics. When somebody like Dan Bernstein, who could do that, he could have picked any lane he wanted.
And could Theo.
But here's the essence of Dan.
Yeah.
He wanted to just have fun and do sports talk radio. Now, he did it at times in a very serious fashion, so let's not get it wrong and
it's
twisted
fun.
That somehow he is careless,
Mark,
but this is what he chose to do.
I'm not saying he'll find a better job. Okay.
No. But
I don't know that there's a better thing to do for somebody that loves all this stuff and is like dying to express themselves about anything and everything.
Yes, that's why.
But hopefully you'll find something. I'm sure you will.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's funny though because Theo went. Theo's an interesting person to think about as we talk about what life is for people in their 50s who have done a certain amount and then get maybe reach the moment of ending up having to do something else. Theo worked for a venture capital firm, and he worked for the commissioner's office. And then he combined those things into being a part owner of his childhood team.
So everybody's talking like, oh, you should be in pop. No, man. I want to stay in sports.
But he did further some interests. Now he knows the finance world more. He knows the league even more. And now he's an owner.
Yeah, but it sounded to me like people thought that he should be the head of the Democratic National Convention. Or like that level.
Yes.
I'm talking about that sort of thing.
Right.
And I'm like, no, and I'm sure Dan could also do that.
Let me just say this.
He wants to have fun.
I knew Theo Epstein was not going to be the head of the Democratic Party when I saw him at 4 a.m. with a block of dark chocolate on his head. Walking through the kitchen of a hotel in Boston.
He probably...
I was like, I don't know if that guy's... But maybe now, I don't know, maybe all bets are off.
Sir, how do you respond to the accusations of the question of going on a bender for the next 2 weeks, sir?
Sir.
Do you think that was funny?
Sir, can we discuss the block of dark chocolate, sir?
Do you think that's fun? Do you think that's what the Democratic Party needs,
Senator Schumer, I am not here to talk about the block of dark chocolate.
Oh, man.
I'm not here to do that.
How about if Dan was the press secretary for a president? I'm not saying the current because I don't want to do any of that.
Right.
I'm saying, like, just in general, he would be a great voice for somebody, I think.
It's true.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah, for somebody and something. So, look, we know that this is a controversial decision in terms of the listenership, perhaps, but we are here for you. We will still be us. And we've already heard from a million listeners on text, on Twitter, etc. Some thrilled, some not thrilled, etc. It is what it is. That's always been the reaction to Dan Bernstein, frankly. And it's usually the reaction of most of us. There's people that love us. There's people that hate us. It is what it is. It's part and parcel of the deal. I think us sharing how we feel personally is one thing. And again, us telling you that we have been advised to not speak on the events of the past week lets you know everything that's going on. And onward, we will roll.
Speaks, can I say one thing about those people who are hating on this so much and the people who are hooting and hollering and loving that he was fired? Those people with the same passion for this radio station do not understand very clearly that there is no radio station to love without Dan Bernstein doing what he did with Terry Bors and his entire time coming up here. This sucks. It absolutely sucks. And I'm not doing what I'm doing without being able to hear Dan Bernstein.
Understood.
Made me sick to my stomach when I first heard.
Foundation of the radio station.
Yeah.
Well, but the radio station, I'd say the foundation of the radio station was actually Dan McNeil and Mike North and Dan Jiggetts and Terry Bors and Tom Scher and Jim Memolo.
And Tom Scher.
And eventually all those people, and the station continued. So my point in bringing that up.
Yeah, I got you.
And I'm not taking anything away from Dan Bernstein, but I'm saying that I thought there was no way the station would ever continue in that regard.
He took it to a different and new level.
For sure.
That's what I mean. Like modern-day foundation.
He stylized Sports Talk Radio.
Understood. Yeah. I'm just telling you that for the first 10 years of my Score life, the question that I heard from people at an event like this one in Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village was, hey, so have you hung out with Mike North? What's Mike North really like? Do you know Mike North? Have you been to Pappy Land? That's what I got for the first 10 years of my radio life. Since then, the predominant question has been, hey, so is Dan Bernstein really a jackass? That's been the predominant question.
And you answered it how?
I'm not going to tell you. But, since then, there have been other questions. For a while there, people would say, do you actually like Parkins or not? Do you actually like Danny Parkins or not? People would say, hey, is Shane's act an act, or is that really him? You know what I mean?
Does Haw really lose his mind in Vegas?
Right.
Is he really a problem?
Sure. Like, is Dustin doing a bit, right? I mean, like, all these things.
Yeah.
Like, what does Grody mean when he says Bears? It's like, it just becomes what it's about. And I'm telling you, for better or for worse, in 10 years, somebody else is going to, hopefully, knocking on wood, 10 years, somebody else is going to ask me something different. or in 5 years, somebody else is going to ask me something different. The score is bigger than any of us. It is. It's bigger than anybody who's working here now. And frankly, it's bigger than anybody who used to work here. I mean, Mike North hasn't been on the station in 15 years, you know? It just, or longer, whatever it is. It's we're fortunate to be riding on a train that has been created before us, and I believe will be riding after us.
Amen, man. I agree, and I'm glad that we got to talk about this.
Yeah, me too. We are at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. If anybody says to you, what the hell do they think? What does Spiegs and Mark Grody think about what just happened? Please direct them via the Rewind app on the Odyssey, the Rewind button on the Odyssey app to the last 15 minutes we've done.
Exactly. And now back to Lipscomb. Let's get back to Mount St. Mary's.
The thing is, I'll let you in on a little radio secret, listeners. Yeah. Sometimes we lead with the big news of the day, and then we bring it back later on with a fresh take, a fresh idea. I don't know that I got another 15 minutes on this in me. I mean, like, I don't know that we're saying the stuff that we wanted to say.
Yeah, no, we did. We did. There it is.
Yeah.
There it was. And now we are here at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove staring at all these televisions. I have to tell you, when I walked into this place today, I was, I guess I shouldn't have been, but just to walk in early in the afternoon and see the place packed and loud and people staring at the televisions, it is, there is nothing like going out or being out in the first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament. And this, as you described it well, or I was like, I'll describe it.
Yes.
It's kind of like a big score living room from all of the times that we have been out here.
I mean, so many stories of things that have happened here.
Oh, man.
Were rolling through my head as I made the drive today and then sitting in the car out front as I gathered myself. How about you, Groats? I've got a story to share, or at least part of a story I can share.
Okay.
You got one?
I actually, if I am not mistaken, the last time I was here, it was for, what anniversary was it? We were all here. We were all doing the show.
The
30th anniversary. We were all here. We had a great crowd out here. I actually, by the way, the sober guy, I actually got in trouble with the boss the last time I was out here because I allowed, I'll just say, as not to call this person out, a P1 listener. That means that this person listens a lot.
Yeah.
This P1 talked me into letting him into the VIP area. He said, nice guy, Grody. I'll take it. Hey, man, big fan of yours. Love the station. You're the best. You're hilarious. I was like, yeah, man, I'll get you outside. And so I took him outside. And immediately, Mitch Rosen sees him. And Mitch is, no. And he's going up. I think it was Layla was out here.
Yes.
There, several people. But I have to say, though, Layla handled it like a champ.
She's a pro.
And this gentleman was being very nice. He was just saying that he was a fan, but apparently I had let in to the VIP area somebody who had already tried to get in and was rejected. So Mitch booted him and then had a little chat with me about it as
well. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Mark, give me your hands.
Unbelievable.
What are you, Grody? Come on. I mean, come on. Mark, it's a big day.
Yeah, you know better. Come on.
Yeah. You know, it's, boy, it's, Groats, that speaks to some truths about our listeners, our relationships, and the possibilities. It really does. Mine is, my story that I think of is a little more embarrassing. Me and Rosner were doing middays here.
Oh, boy.
Barry Rosner, we're doing middays.
Barry Rosner.
Thank you very much. Before the Boers and Bernstein, I want to say it was the 10th anniversary broadcast or the 15th anniversary broadcast. And Barry and I decided to have a beverage at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And then I think we had another beverage at 1:30. And then the very generous listeners supplied us with, I don't know, somewhere between 3 to 6 other beverages as soon as we were done. And I missed a good portion of the Boers and Bernstein show that day. Missed a good portion. I did have a lovely nap in a storage closet just off the kitchen.
Oh, no.
There.
He's got storage closet bad, huh? Oh, no.
It's not a, I'm not proud. I'm not proud of this.
Bad.
I'm not proud of this. But I recovered. I recovered from the storage closet nap. And like you, I'm not in danger of doing such things these days.
Yeah, exactly. That makes it feel a little bit better.
It does. That today, I can come back in here today and know for sure that I'll have a moment of sober growth.
Yes.
And be able to say, well, I look forward to not doing that today.
There's no doubt about it. I heard a, it's so funny you say this. I heard a story about a former White Sox player who, when he would go out often, and at the end of the night, they would drop him off back in the White Sox clubhouse because he knew that he would probably not make it in if he wasn't dropped off in the clubhouse. So I like the comp there. I also, if I may, as we're out here at Real Time Sports, this is kind of my territory. You know, I grew up in Itasca, so I don't know how long they're going to be here, so I want to shout them out now. My mom, Jean Grody, is in the house. Hey, Jean Grody, you're in the house. There she is. Aunt Rhonda is in the house.
Not Aunt Rhonda.
Yeah, Aunt Rhonda. That's the famous Aunt Rhonda. She's in the house.
Aww.
And Gerhardt Grody, Gary Grody, is in the house as well. We wheeled him right in here.
That is outstanding. Yeah. Truth be told, I asked you for a ride today, and you were going to give me one, but then you told me you're going to be staying at the parents' house tonight.
We're hanging out tonight.
So I took my own car, because otherwise I was also going to have to stay at your parents' house tonight.
Yeah. So he's my sober friend, Mom. I told you. I got these friends.
All right. Look, just to put a button on it, and we'll say it again. I'll say it again. I'm really disappointed that it came to this. I'm really sad that it came to this. It's a sad, sad day. I want to be clear. Even as I talk about how the score is bigger than us, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than any one host, I'm very much putting myself in there and putting all the hosts in the past in there as well. But to be clear, in case anyone was wondering, I'm sad. I'm very sad that it has come to this, and I wish it had not.
I agree, and I'm sad for the industry as well, just because of what an important voice he is. And I'll say it again. I'll try to say it better this time. I think he has to this day emboldened, whether they like him or not, whether they know it or not, he has emboldened talk show hosts in this town to go to a different level, to a higher level, to a riskier level, to a more intelligent level. And that's what Dan Bernstein has left here on Chicago Sports Radio. And I honestly, I cannot wait to see what's next for him. I cannot wait to
see
what's next
for him. Yeah. I very much agree with that. And as I mentioned before, and I told him personally, I look forward to his next chapter. And I'm sure he will find something that speaks to his passions and lets him express himself the way that he deserves to the rest of his career.
Him and Dan McNeil on a podcast.
Oh, goodness. That's Mark Grody. Sorry. I'm Matt Spiegel. Wish you were here, Lawrence Holmes. Wish you and I had a chance to talk about this, but I'm glad you are there at Rick Camp's wedding.
When are we going live to Rick Camp's wedding?
And why were we not invited to Rick Camp's wedding?
Exactly. I think there are a lot of reasons.
Oh, really?
We'll go over those throughout the afternoon. Ryan McGuffey's going to join us later to talk some White Sox baseball, the co-host of Inside the Clubhouse. Dave Wanstead will join us later to talk about a lesson that I admitted I learned way too late about football yesterday. We'll get Grody's thoughts about that along the way. There's a draft option at number 10 that Mark Grody is intrigued by. I'm a no on this, but it's a popular option, so I want to discuss it with you. The sports hobby industry may have been revitalized and revolutionized by a $1 million sale that took place in the last 24 hours. There are fun ways to bet on this tournament we've got to discuss, and we're going to do that next in a matter of moments. And Grody's got a comp for something local that could happen. All of that is next on 670 The Score. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Spiegs and Mark Grody with you at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Thanks to Circa Resort and Casino. If you're here, go see the folks at the Circa table. Sign up, download the app. They've got gear for you right over there. Keep it here on 670 The Score.
We're back live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We're in the middle of the NCAA tournament. We are in the middle of the NCAA tournament. Colorado State and Memphis appear to be tied at 48. Everywhere I look, there's a television with a different game on, or maybe right now they're all the same games.
I'm confirming it. Yes, you are right. The appearance is correct. It is 48-48.
Thank you, Mark Grody.
I got you.
As you breathlessly take care of me for all my college hoops needs.
It appears that they are tied. I love that. That was good.
Now, there are a million ways to bet on this tournament, and we've been doing so at various spots in various ways. I got to tell you about my Calcutta pool and where that stands the other night. And Shane Reardon
has a really fun way to bet on this tournament I need to ask him about. But let me say this for the first of, I don't know, 15, 20 times. Can we roll tape on this? Tyler Butibaugh, can we roll tape on this and just have this ready? But, I mean, I'll say it again. I'll have to say it live.
We do that automatically, by the way. We're always rolling tape.
That's really helpful, actually. Yes, the news that you've heard or the rumor that you've heard about Dan Bernstein no longer being with the station is true. It's a complicated issue. It hits all of us very closely. We did 20 minutes about it at the top of the show at 2 o'clock. We got as real and honest as we possibly could be, and I feel good about the way it's discussed. Use the rewind function on the Odyssey app to go back and listen if that's what you're looking for in this particular moment. Thank you, and good night. Is that it? Are we done? Is the show over?
Feels good for right now. Yeah.
Sometimes, Groats, you just got to keep going and keep doing live radio.
No, hey, I totally understand. Look, it's a huge, massive deal, one that we are limited in what we can discuss about it. So we did discuss it. We'll continue to refer to it. It is big news. It deserves whatever attention it's getting, whatever we're saying about it. It is worthy of it. So, you know, it's awkward for us as well here getting this news before we came on to talk about it and react to it. Not that we didn't know things were stirring.
Yeah, things were stirring. All right, were we rolling on that too, Shane? Can you confirm?
Yeah, the whole time. We're always rolling.
We're still rolling, huh?
We're good.
So we can keep doing it and just keep rolling, essentially.
We're always rolling. We never stop.
Is one way we could do it.
Can I talk about my complicated issues?
Yeah.
Or do you want to talk about gambling?
No, I love your complicated
issues. You want to talk about my complicated issues?
Always.
Okay, because I actually have what I consider to be a complicated college basketball issue. May I talk about that?
Yes, you can.
I think I need to discuss this because
this
will actually, I think, feed into... I think you're going to understand where I'm coming from. I have bought into the St. John's thing. St. John's wins their first NCAA tournament game in 25 years by beating Omaha 83-53 yesterday. And they have taken over... And Rhonda likes it. They have taken over New York City in terms of... They're going crazy about St. John's as if it is the New York Knicks out there, or the New York Yankees would probably be the much better example. So it has taken over the city, something that I have been hoping for forever, and there have been little mini revivals, is a DePaul Blue Demon revival. And it's something that every once in a while I talk about, I go down memory lane, and then I realize nobody really cares because the DePaul fans are getting older and starting to die off, or at least the ones that saw the DePaul Blue Demons win. There was a bit of a revival for DePaul in the late 90s when they got Quentin Richardson and Bobby Simmons, Lance Williams, and Paul McPherson. They did, the last time they were in the NCAA tournament was 2004. Thank Drake Diener and Sammy Mejia, a couple of players there. But Spiegel, I want to ask the question.
You dream of a DePaul resurgence that feels like St. John's.
But I do dream of that. But I wonder if I am grasping at something that simply doesn't exist. That it's a ghost, that again, that the people that saw DePaul thrive were all getting older. Some are probably not even alive anymore. So if DePaul, let's say they're like Loyola. They have like a nice little run. Are they a nice story the way Loyola was, just kind of a nice story, and then when they were bad, people stopped paying attention to them again? Or could DePaul actually gain back that base which existed for so long, for decades, where DePaul was a big deal, let's go watch college basketball thing in this city?
It's a great informed question. It really is. It's a really great, well-informed question and well thought out. And to find the answer, you got to go to exactly how the St. John's program is doing what it's doing. Are you hip to the backstory of how it's doing what it's doing?
Go deep on me, because obviously I could give you the surface. Rick Pitino is the head coach, and that's a pretty good start. But go a little deeper on the team that you watched growing up, the way I watched DePaul growing up in Chicago.
Well, let me say this. Let me say that the comp is a good one. Comp's a really good one. You know, the one thing that St. John's has had is inclusion in a really good power conference along the way. So they had a longer heyday as part of the Big East, perhaps. So they've had that, and they've had some traditional rivalries with some big-time schools from that conference that gave it a little bit more of a presence. And the Big East, being as big as it was, gave it a little bit more of a footprint. But then they had a long, long dearth of, like, what you're talking about. And there have been little moments of resurgence and such. But the comp is a pretty darn good one. I have to bring you to two drink companies. Are you hip to Glacio Water?
Glacio.
Glacieau. Have you ever seen that? It's a drinking water.
I have not.
How about Body Armor? You hip to Body Armor?
I'm hip to Body Armor.
I think there's a lot of people out there who are hip to both. They're gigantic drink companies, extremely popular. They have one man who's behind both of them. He's a billionaire. His name is Mike Repole, okay? I believe it's pronounced Repole, R-E-P-O-L-E. He is a billionaire. And his dream was to be the head men's basketball coach at St. John's University. He sold his company, Vitamin Water. You've heard...
I heard of Vitamin Water.
He's the guy, Vitamin Water.
Two out of three for me.
So Vitamin Water is his company. So Body Armor, Glacio, Vitamin Water. He sold his company to Coca-Cola for $4.1 billion. And another one for $5.6 billion. He's got an estimated net worth of $1.6 billion, okay? He credits one book for inspiring his business approach, and that is a book by Rick Pitino called Success is a Choice, 10 Steps to Overachieving in Business and Life. When the book came out in 97, Mike Repole got it, and he says it changed his life. He is the billionaire who is funding the name, image, and likeness campaign for St. John's University.
We need a million. Oh, excuse me. We need a billionaire.
This is a billionaire who was so taken by Pitino's book that he decided to make sure Pitino got rehired at this point in his life and career at St. John's, and they have a massive NIL program. He empowered Pitino to do his thing and gave him all the money in the world and all the freedom to scout the transfer portal and keep guys there. And he and Rick Pitino together, in his dream, have collaboratively rebuilt the St. John's program.
That is a fantastic story. I mean, and St. John's, the comp is good because it has been described similarly to DePaul as a sleeping giant throughout the years. How about the fact now that Rick Pitino goes on to play John Calipari and his... I have to look down. He's the Arkansas head coach, so that's the next matchup, which is hilarious, too, that you've got those two coaches... They don't like each other. I mean, they've got – you heard Pitino – I heard Pitino talking last night. And it's definitely a different, more mature, more humility-filled version, I think, of Rick Pitino, which is the way we all become, I think, for the most part in our lives. So it'll be interesting to see those two teams square off
yeah.
in the tournament.
So it'll be fascinating to see if that's even possible. You know, that was for St. John's in Arkansas to square off.
Aren't they squaring off?
They are squaring off.
Yes.
So it's Pitino and Calipari.
That's right.
Squaring off. And yes. Pitino's been talking about it, saying it's not one-on-one.
Right,
I think we've got audio if you want to. I think Tyler might have some.
Tyler,
whoa!
Hear it. Tyler,
it's a real beaut back there.
Rick Pitino asked post-game about him and Coach Cal.
Is that a chess match you enjoy, the planning to go against each other, given how many times it's happened?
I don't go against coaches. We go against teams. He doesn't have to worry about me. My jump shot's long gone. So he's got to prepare for our team. We've got to prepare for his players. He's preparing for our players. So John and I don't play one-on-one anymore.
So they're not playing one-on-one.
No more.
But that'll be the big story of this tournament.
Oh, yeah. No, I am looking forward to that. But I don't know if DePaul, because it's going to happen. Like, they really did have a nice year this past year in terms of improvement under the new head coach, Chris Holtmann, for DePaul. So, like, relative to that, one of these years is going to happen, and I'm very curious as to how people will react and if it is something that will be sustainable. But count me on board the St. John's Johnny's bandwagon just because of the feelings that I get watching.
I love
needed
that.
A team, and now I have a team. It was going to be Mount St. Mary's, but they're trailing to Duke right now, 35-16.
So how does Cooper Flagg's ankle look? That's the question.
Ooh, yeah.
That's the big question.
Yeah.
I'm in a Calcutta pool filled with, like, ridiculously wealthy humans who spend a lot of money. I'm spending a tiny amount of money just to be, like, hitched on and kind of part of it and to feel the joy of the thing. Duke went for like almost $30,000 in this freaking Calcutta
pool.
What
is a Calcutta pool? You keep saying that.
You bid real money on teams, and then people sit around and they bid real money on teams. There's like syndicates that are involved. Is it legal? What I'm talking about, is it even legal?
Doesn't matter.
But
we're not recording
right now. I'm not gonna say anybody's name.
Wait,
do
you do it, Jenna? Is that the
Calcutta. It's not the Catalina wine mixer of NCAA pools. It's more like, but it is syndicates. Let me just say that guys like Calipari and Patino would be very comfortable at my Calcutta pool.
I see what you're saying. A little something.
The syndicates are involved. It's like, and I'm just along for the ride. But like, can you imagine? It's just crazy. And then you get a requisite portion back depending on how far your teams go. I know there's people out there who are in massive ones as well. Shane, you say you have a brilliant way to bet on the tournament, and I want to know what it is. Can we still do it today? Can people still do it today?
Yes. Yeah. You can do it with every game. You just have to. It's one bet that you have to get in before the game starts. Now, I don't give a rat's ass about college basketball, and I don't give a rat's ass about gambling. So I need something to bring me in, right? And I don't want to watch the games for a long time. Don't care about them. Amateur basketball, none of them are good. So there is a bet going around on FanDuel right now that you can bet for every single matchup. It is over 2.5 total points between both teams within the first minute of the game. That's all you got to do. You have to say it's over or under 2.5 points total between the first minute of the game.
It's the most exhilarating minute because you can come out of the tip and hit a three immediately, and then you're covered.
I had an 8-leg yesterday that I put $10 on.
8-leg parlay?
An 8-leg parlay.
All with this bet?
All with 2.5 points or more the first minute that I missed by one game that would have paid me $5 to make $8.90.
Oh my God. I love one the leg. Concept, man.
So you don't have to know anything about basketball. Have to like to see scoring and root on scoring over 2.5 points within the first minute of the game. You find it on FanDuel.
Oh, I love that.
That's so good.
I love that because it's similar to the first basket bet in the NBA in that you get immediate resolution.
But and you can have move more on. Options now.
Right. And you can move on with the game. It's more options. And it's not just based on one person.
Yep.
You're just rooting for activity in the first 1 minute.
It's exhilarating.
I like the simplicity, too, because sometimes part of the reason I don't gamble is because it intimidates me because I don't understand all of it.
Sure.
I can get down with that. Yep. It's like when I go to Vegas. You know what I play in Vegas?
Roulette.
War.
Oh.
The game War, because it's so simple.
Man.
And I like it. And roulette, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. So I'll do a parlay today with the games that haven't started yet that will be on with us here.
There are other ways to bet on this tournament that are also fun. The folks over at Circa have given me a couple. We can share that as well. Top of the hour, we'll shift gears to baseball a little bit. Ryan McGuffey at 325. Man, it's a crazy day. It's a crazy and weird day. We will try to be focused and do our jobs right here on 670 The Score.
We're back live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village with more of the Spiegel and Home Show presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Zachary, he'll put up a three. No good. Rebound, a scramble. Hunter has it. Hunter at the buzzer. It's good, but Cowboy up. McNeese.
Yeah, that was fun. That was the one upset yesterday. Have there been big upsets yet today? Not really, right, Grouts?
Haven't really noticed any.
Yeah.
I see teams that would be in the business of upsetting teams.
Like, you see lower seed teams playing?
I see Mount St. Mary's. They're out there somewhere. There's a lot of TVs here. They're out there. They must have said something.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're out there. I think, what was the team I talked about? Was it Duquesne or something like that?
Oh, you know what? You know what happened last night?
Lipscomb. Excuse me.
I got to tell you, I'm sure this happens to people out there. You get freaking salty when you had a feeling and you didn't move on it, right? Drake. I had a feeling about the Drake because that coach, Ben McCollum is the coach. He was a Division II coach. He won 4 Division II national titles. And then just this year, he gets bumped up to go to Drake in Division I. And, like, I think, like, 8 of his players transferred from the Division II school.
Ooh.
He kept 2 holdovers. He got a couple other transfers. And he plays this really annoying, slow style, but he's totally about, like, team and culture and commitment to winning. And the school he used to be at was Northwest Missouri State. He moves to Drake, and their competition in the first round was Missouri.
Wow.
So he gets the state school. So he's motivated, and he's good, and they have a unique style. And Missouri didn't stand a chance against them last night. And I talked about it the other day on The Score, but I didn't bet it. I should have bet it.
And now for Spiegels, what I would have done.
Yes.
What I was thinking about doing and that I didn't do.
And you get salty. This tournament makes you salty about stuff
like
that.
Yeah, it does. You know why? Because when you're right, you feel really good.
Yeah.
Because it is more difficult than ever to pick these teams because of how young some of the players are that are being featured in it and a lack of identity and all of that kind of stuff that exists. So when you get it right, I guess that's gambling, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, of course
the gambling
it is.
High.
But it's not even about gambling, because I know you're not a big gambler. For those of you that are, by the way, Circa Resort and Casino is an amazing place, and we will be there. Lawrence Holmes and I will be there next week for a few days for baseball's opening day.
Nice.
And for this, the third and fourth round of the tournament as well. Cannot wait.
Do you have a future that you're going to place on Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, like an MLB future?
Yeah.
I do. I'm thinking about one,
okay.
In particular, but I got to think about it a little bit more. But it's brewing and it's percolating.
When is this?
It's a team close to my heart.
So Shane. I had a personal phone conversation with Derek Stevens last night where I asked him to lower the White Sox win total to 21, and I took the under.
I have what I consider to be a great question right now.
Okay.
When is the trip to Las Vegas?
We're leaving on Wednesday.
Okay.
And we're doing the shows Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
Some people are leaving Friday, some Saturday. I'm leaving Sunday.
Okay. Will the Chicago Cubs be a winning baseball team by that point? Will their record be above 500? The 0-2 Chicago Cubs. They're 0-2, so you know what they did? They sent them right back to spring training. That's where the Cubs are now. Will they be a winning team by that point?
I don't know.
Well, they can only be 500 by the time we finish our second show.
Yes.
Wait, can we talk about how much Spiegel hates my question?
he's having a hard time settling with it.
Oh, okay. I'm
I'm having a hard time today. I'm having a hard time.
I get it.
What happened?
What happened?
A texter says it right. The biggest upset of the day is the news that Dan Bernstein is no longer at the Score.
Do you want to just talk about it?
I mean, occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally, it's gonna come up, and we're going to have to talk about it.
It's monumental. It's a seismic shift in sports talk radio. It's one of the great talk show hosts that this city's ever had.
It sucks.
And I don't know where he ranks on a national level, but probably pretty highly.
Yeah.
Like all time. So
it's not supposed to end like this, but it had to.
And the emotions
according
change
to everyone.
Yeah,
you know?
Like
we've been advised not to talk about the events of the past week, and but it's a damn shame. It's just a damn shame. It's sad, and it's a great and powerful host that is no longer part of things.
Well,
and
I think that anytime we feel like we need to, as you just did, Spiegel.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk about it. It is 2:53 Chicago time. We are here live at Real Time Sports until 6 o'clock. And
God
Dan
bless
Zamo
you, Mark Cody. You're doing a hell of a job.
No, I love it. By the way, my parents got the fried shrimp. Absolutely delicious.
Oh, did they? You know what I want? I want like one fried shrimp.
Oh,
would your parents
Mom.
Give me one of their fried shrimp?
Yes,
or
yes.
Should I make an order? It's Shane. What do you do? You don't ask somebody's parents to give you a fried shrimp.
Mom. Not in a sane world, no. But I don't know if we're living in one. I'll split an order of shrimp with you if you want.
Oh, you want to split an order of shrimp?
I will split an order of shrimp.
No, no, thank you. No, that's very kind of you. I'm not going to do it. No. Thank you.
Why did
very
you
kind.
Take this? Well, you don't like my mom's shrimp. Now, is that what's going on here? You got a problem with my mom? I'm sorry, Mom. I apologize for my friend.
It's not that I'm too good for your mom's fried shrimp. That's Miss Jean Grody right there.
That is Jean Grody right there.
Oh, man.
Yes, former school teacher. Be careful with your grammar. She corrects grammar.
Really?
All the time. All the time.
We have a grammar thing. She and I have to talk. You know about my grammar history?
No, I do not.
Oh, my God. I was class grammarian in fourth grade.
Whoa!
I was given a book to walk around the class and correct anybody else's grammar.
Oh, man. To this day.
And then I was deposed. I was deposed when somebody noticed me making three grammar mistakes, and they took the book from me.
But head grammarian.
I was class grammarian, and I lost that.
And you had a crush on the girl who called you out.
I really did.
Oh, my God.
I really did.
Yeah, we tried to find her on Facebook.
I'm glad.
Hey, wait.
And that's why I'm not mentioning her name again.
I think we did.
That's why I'm not mentioning her name
again. Super Bowl picks next year.
score grammarian picks. You got Spiegel. Never mind. The other two guys don't work here anymore.
It would have been Burtz.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
No, and Dan McNeil was a grammarian,
too. Oh, he was a grammar Richard.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Connor McKnight, another guy who doesn't work here anymore.
Really? I didn't know that about him.
Yeah. Last week I said, is the an article? And he texted me, of course the is an article.
Well, he was an English teacher.
That's right.
So,
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. We roll on. It is 670 The Score. He's Grody. I'm Spiegs. Thanks for being here. We are here at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. I do believe that a child's hobby has been revitalized because some kid just made $1 million. Let's discuss next on The Score.